welcome to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. This is Adrian Tuttenham, and I'm going to be your guide as we ramble through a miscellany of sounds from the forgotten past. Before the vinyl record became popular in the 1950s, there was already more than 50 years of analogue sound recording history in the form of discs and cylinders. But music had also been recorded in a number of digital formats, even before the gramophone disc came along. Here's a digital recording from the 1920s, Whistling Lil. That was Whistling Lil by Monard, recorded digitally on a paper roll in the 1920s and played on Paul Morris's Aeolian Duo Art pipe organ in 2003. Provided the playback device could cope with it, digital recording gave very good results, but of course it suffered from many of the same disadvantages as modern digital recording. For a start, it depended on having complex technology available to turn it into sounds. And believe me, an Aeolian pipe organ is complex. Many of these older digital playback devices were surprisingly versatile. Here's the Aeolian organ again, and this time it's playing Cuban dance music. Thank you. That was Two Cuban Danzas by Lecuona, played by Aeolian Pipe Organ No. 1431. You're listening to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. The Aeolian organ was only one of dozens of different self-playing digital instruments on the market before gramophones became ubiquitous. Many of these digital instruments used paper rolls to record the music. Several types were called orchestrion, and they all appeared to have been different versions of an automated orchestra with a selection of instruments that depended on which type you bought. Very few survive, but a recording purporting to be of one was made in 1931. There are no details given on the record label of the exact instrument, it just says gigantic orchestrion. My copy of the record is in very poor condition, so it might be difficult to hear any subtleties, but this particular orchestrion appears to me to contain just a piano and percussion section, no organ pipes, and no subtlety of any kind. I've been told that this is almost certainly an instrument known as a cafe piano, and isn't really an orchestrion at all. But whatever it is, hold on to your seats for a medley of English traditional tunes. That was a gigantic orchestrion, or more likely a cafe piano, recorded in 1931. You're listening to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. Most people are familiar with the simple musical box, where pins on a slowly rotating barrel catch in a metal comb and release the various notes with a flick which sets them vibrating. One of the problems with that system is the difficulty of providing a choice of tunes, which can be quickly and easily changed. Various clever systems of multi-tune barrels were tried, but if a completely new tune was wanted, the barrel still had to be taken out for repinning. Disc musical boxes, where metal tabs on a slowly rotating metal disc flick the comb, were much more successful. One of the most familiar names in the disc musical box field is the polyphon. That used a clever system of star wheels for avoiding wear on the disc. Here is a polyphon playing a jolly little number with the strange title of What Ho She Bumps. What Ho She Bumps, played on a 19.5-inch polyphon. That particular instrument belongs to Sue Wedlock. She has a collection of polyphons dotted all over her house. So I went to see her to find out more about them. So Sue, what is a polyphon?
Well, it's a disc musical box. Instead of having a cylinder that goes around, it has flat discs varying in size, which are upright in most machines, and you often put a penny in the slot to make them play. And I really look on them as the sort of jukebox of their day.
When was their day?
Well, it was quite a short life, really. Started in the 1880s, about 1886. Polyphon, in fact, were first made in 1890, and by 1910... most of the factories had gone bankrupt because then the phonograph had become very popular and everyone wanted something different, so they went for those instead, and they were cheaper.
And yet there are still polyphons around today.
They made an awful lot. I mean, it wasn't just the polyphon. There were quite a few makes. Symphonium were the first, and then polyphon, which were made in Germany. Then there was the Regina music box, which is American. There were Swiss companies. So an awful lot were made, and they were always quite a precious thing in a family because it was the one thing that would give them music that they didn't have to make themselves. And so it was always very a prized thing in a house and so well looked after.
I see. And they are absolutely magnificent looking beasts, aren't they?
Oh, they're beautiful.
Could you describe the one that you've got here?
Right, this is one of the very largest made. This was called the Mikado and played a disc which is 25.5 inches in diameter. Usually played with a penny in the slot and put in cafes and bars, and people would go in as they would in a jukebox today and put their money in and listen to the disc, and then it could be changed. Some actually had two discs that would play one above the other, which was even larger than this one. It is 7 foot high. In fact, we had a job to fit it into the room. We had to put it between the beams to make sure it would even go in here, because we have very low ceilings.
And they did other models as well, did they?
Yes, they did them right from very small models for children, which would be a table model playing discs only about 5 inches in diameter. And also the uprights were, you could have them 19.5 inch, 22.5 inch, and then the 25. And also the table models, the most popular for adults was a 15.5 inch diameter.
And did these always stand on the floor, or were some of them hung on the walls? Or
usually up standing on the floor, because they had a disc bin underneath where you stored your discs, because they're quite large and quite heavy. And as a new song came out, you would buy the disc as you would buy a record today and store it in your bin underneath and bring it out to play to your friends.
So let's have a look at one of these discs.
Right. On the front was always the title of the tune, its catalogue number, and very often the name of the person who wrote the tune. This particular one here has the title in German and in English. Front is flat, there are lots of little holes, indentations on it. If you turn the disc over, you will see that you have raised bits where the front was hammered and little pieces of metal knocked through. The metal at the back catches on the star wheels on the machine and that plucks a note. And there's a whole range of notes on a comb and it will play gradually through them. I'm going to put the disc on the machine now and that clips in place.
So what's the name of this disc?
Oh, this is the Intermezzo from Cavalleria Rusticana. This is one of my favourites. This is a slightly smaller model now, still upright. This is 19 and a half inch disc. I'm going to play the Washington Post. So first I need to get my penny, which I keep in the drawer underneath, and put that into the slot at the side. And as the penny drops down, the music starts to play. Thank you.
Now, this one is a table model, much smaller. The disc is 15 and a half inch, so just plays for a minute, and not the depth of sound that you get from the larger models.
Charming rendering of Over the Waves Waltz on Sue Wedlock's 15.5-inch table model Polyphon musical box. We've only got time for one more piece this week, so I've chosen one of Paul Linker's waltzes, played on the 25.5-inch Polyphon. In Germany, Paul Linker was, and still is, regarded as the king of light music. In England, his composition The Glowworm Intermezzo is well known, but today I've chosen one of his lesser-known pieces. So this is Adrian Tuddenham, looking forward to your company next week, and leaving you with Paul Linker's lovely waltz tune, Wenn die Blätter leise rauschen, When the Leaves Are Softly Rustling.